book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. While I get wired up. We're going to read the first few verses, 18, and get the story to start off with. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of wherever, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, and the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Ziph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest, this is the old man, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, and will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Anna answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that the experiences of these people have been brought down to us, and Lord, we can learn something from them. Help us to learn something from Hannah today. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless and touch, and if anybody in the sound of my voice is lost, that they might be convicted, they might be convinced, they might repent and call upon you and get saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What an interesting story. As far as I'm concerned, it was an interesting story. Forget it. I love Samuel. I love Samuel and David and the writings of them and the experiences of them. And there's just something there. Now, Elkanah, that's the man's name. He has two wives. And it says in verse 3, yearly he went up there to worship. This guy is a faithful man. This is a man that puts the Lord first. This is somebody that has some character with him. And so he went up to sacrifice and to worship the Lord. Now, The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now, when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penaiah, his wife, and her sons portions, gifts, blessings. It was a big event. I don't know how long it took them going from here to getting up to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was. But they were there to worship the Lord. They were there to give God praise. And he noticed his wife Hannah, and she'd been this way for a while. Some of you get upset more than others, right? Didn't get any amens on that one. But it's the truth anyway. You get more upset. People can punch your button. They can just know where to touch you to make you mad or to hurt your feelings. It's an amazing thing. People are still doing this. This is jealousy, envy, desire to put somebody down. Right now they call it, for a lot of these young people, it's cyberbullying. And somebody that is real sensitive. In fact, when I was a kid, they said sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt me. And so we thought we could, well, you can fight if you don't like what they're doing, you know, but we didn't have the opportunity that these kids have today with Facebook, Twitter, the internet, and all kinds of ways like this. I think it was just last year or so that a boy from Alamo Heights High School killed himself. And the reason why, he was so distressed by the cyberbullying that people can do. They can get and hide behind that computer and do what they want to do to whoever they want to do it, and they can't really respond back hardly. That's a big, big deal. Now, that's what was happening here. We got two wives. This is sort of an interesting thought that almost any time you have this sort of situation with a multiple marriage like this, there's going to be jealousy. If you got five kids, they're all full of jealousy. If you were sweeter than them, I was tough on my boys. I'll have to admit, I'm not going to preach reason why I was right now, but I did not want to lose my boys. And when I saw that Eli lost his boys, Samuel lost his boys, and David lost his boys, that made me a very tough dad on my two boys. Now, when the girls came along, I spoiled them a little more, and the boys continually tell me, yeah, we didn't get this, you know, whatever. Anyway, she's being provoked, and it breaks her heart. Now, some of you are more sensitive than others. I guess I could get my heart broken, but I haven't lately. I don't care if you like me or not. That's your loss if you don't like me. That's the way I look at it, you see. Good night. I think I'm what's not to like. You know something? This wife, barren wife, is burdened. She wants a child. She wants to be a fulfilled woman in this time, and especially in this time, you didn't have all sorts of other things you could do. But women were bearing children, and that was her purpose in life. Well, her adversary provoked her sore, it says, and made her fret. So she goes up there where the priests are, and here's Eli. He's the old high priest. And he's got his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, doing the work of the priesthood mostly. And they're being about the temple. And they were sorry rascals. They were sons of Belial. They were worthless men. They were adulterers and fornicators, and they didn't do anything to please God. I doubt if they even believed in God. It was just an opportunity they had for government and to get some advantage financially to them. Well, he saw this woman, Hannah, Eli did, and she wept, and she wouldn't eat, and she was in bitterness of soul in verse 10, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, said, Lord, give me a man child. If you give him to me, I'll give him back to you. Did you ever think that you might ought to give all your children to the Lord when you get them? Because you can't keep them from him. And it might be good to bless them. You ought to be praying for that child that's coming. You ought to be praying that it'll be given to the Lord. And you ought to be purposely planning, preparing, and working towards giving your children to the Lord. I've heard different experiences when some people have maybe surrendered to the mission field, and a parent say, oh no, not my boy, not my boy, not my girl. I'd be very careful of that one. Because God's going to take what he wants. Did you know? God is not worried about your hurt feelings about half the time. You got your hurt feelings, and that's just you. You need to get over it and do some things by faith, trust the Lord, and decide that maybe he has a different will for you than what you have in your own mind. At any rate, she is very provoked. She was in verse 10, bitterness of soul. She prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. Now, Hannah, look down in verse 13. She spake in her heart. You ever do that? I do it all the time. That's the way I pray mostly. Mostly I pray in my mind. I pray in words. I pray in thinking. I pray in sentences. But I'm talking to the Lord, and I know he hears me. Well, now she's doing this, and she moved her lips. She's speaking the words, but not making any noise. And her voice wasn't heard. So Eli, the old priest, he'd been with a lot of experience with a lot of people over a lot of years, thought she was drunk. And so he decides to rebuke her. And he said, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Have you ever made a mistake? I've been doing this preaching, well over 64 years. Since I started out being a pastor, and I was 20 years old when that started. You know something? I've made a mistake every day of my life, I think. I've gone in some houses, and I've made a judgment sometimes. Later on, in years down the line, I look back on that and say, that was a wrong judgment. I made the wrong judgment. Eli made the wrong judgment. He's an experienced priest. He's the top man in the entire nation at this time. And he made the wrong judgment. He thought she was drunk. And he said, put away your wine from you. Quit doing that. And then she says to him, no, verse 15, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink and poured out my soul before the Lord. Do you know you can pour out your soul before the Lord and he'll listen to you? You don't have to tell anybody else. You don't have to go down and bend somebody's ear. You don't have to call them on the phone. You don't have to send them anything on Facebook. You can get to the Lord directly from your mind. My boy Eddie was at one time about 16 years old and he had spinal meningitis. And he was deaf and dumb and crippled in the Methodist hospital right here. And we were down there, and we didn't know he could understand anything. We had no idea. In fact, we learned, Verlene and I learned an awful lot about spinal meningitis in a few days, a week, because we had no clue what in the world was going on. And the doctors told us they couldn't help him. It was a viral type of spinal meningitis, and no medicine they could give him could help him at all. He might end up being dumb or blind or crippled, or he might come back whole. Well, praise God, answered our prayers. He came back whole. Lived long enough to be 65 and retire. How about that? And then decides to go to the mission field. I had my family there for a bunch of years, was scattered all over the world. Literally. Now then, it's starting all over again. There's Eddie's done taking off. He's down in Zacatecas. But now here for the last 4 or 5 years, they've been within a 5-mile circle of my house. Pretty close. Been pretty nice. I've been enjoying that. Anyway, she said, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. I'm not drunk. I'm burdened. Now, some of you may be carrying a real heavy burden in here today. You may be carrying a physical burden, some sickness or some pain or some other something like that. You may be carrying a spiritual burden, something that you're burdened with and you don't know what to do about and don't know how you're going to come out of it. Eli answered and said, "Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat. She wasn't eating. And her countenance was no more sad. You know what that made me think? About simple faith. How valuable is just simple faith. Just taking God at His word. Instead of thinking you're so smart, you're smarter than God. Believe me, you're not smarter than most people, and you're certainly not smarter than God.
Amen.
Set yourself up to judge the word of God. You ought to read it and believe it. You ought to read it and accept it. You ought to have an authority. I've got an authority, and it's this old King James version of the Bible. That's my authority. I don't go back to the Greek or the Hebrew. I don't go to Dr. Doodle Digger. I just go to see what it says.
Amen.
What does the Bible say? Whatever it says, I believe it. God could be any kind of God. What could you do about it if God was a bad God? What if God was a mean God? What could you do about it? You couldn't do a thing. It makes no difference. I'm sort of like Abraham. I got a little verse in my head about chapter 18 of Genesis, verse 25, something like that. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I may not understand the sickness. I may not understand the death. I may not understand the problems. But I understand God.
Amen.
And I believe God loves me. I believe God loves you. I believe what God says is right. And I believe you ought to trust it. It ought to be your authority. You are not smart enough to be an authority. You don't have enough brains to make the great decisions of all things that come your way in a week's time. But God does. He's got an answer for you if you'll read it in the book. And the more you read the book, the smarter you'll get. Now, I was a supposed Christian. But this Bible did not influence me very much. I could have memorized the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes and Psalm 23 and Psalm 19 in Sunday school classes when I was going. But it didn't really affect me until in 20 years old, I got saved. And I surrendered to preach and I started reading the Bible. And by the way, I started at the first. I read through Genesis the first night. And then I began reading and reading, and I wasn't reading the New Testament. I wasn't even thinking about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm reading about somebody begetting, somebody begetting, somebody begetting, somebody beget. Wow. I didn't get a lot of inspiration until I got to the New Testament. Wow. I tell you what. The gospel is the most beautiful thing in the world. The gospel is absolutely beautiful. Simple. Simple. Most of religion is trying to teach you to be good enough to be accepted by God. You say, oh, no, that's not true. Yeah, it is true. Good little boys go to heaven and bad little boys go to hell. Let me tell you something. There ain't no little good little boys. That's the problem. And you may think you look better than that drunk down the street or that woman, it's a loose woman on your block. And maybe you do. You probably are much better. But you know what? You can't walk into the presence of God. I've heard people tell me, oh, well, preacher, when I get up there, I'm going to tell God this and I'm going to tell God that. You big dummy. You're not that strong, you're not that smart, you're not that big. And you don't understand. Now, there was another saying like sticks and stones, a saying I heard about lawyers. And he said, he who has himself for his lawyer has a fool for a client. Does that make any sense to you? If you have yourself for your own lawyer to represent you before some court of law, it's just a standard statement. You got a fool for a client. You're saying you're very foolish. You know who I want for my lawyer? Jesus Christ. He's my advocate. Yes, I'm a sinner. And yes, the wages of sin is death. But praise God, I've got Jesus as my advocate before the courts of heaven. He paid my debt. He's even got it in with the judge. He's his son. That's the one you want to be your lawyer. You're going to go up to the court of heaven and you're going to represent yourself, how smart you are and how much you don't like what God did with this or that or some other thing. You're an idiot. I say that kindly. Her countenance was no longer sad. What in the world happened to Hannah? Nothing but a priest, a high priest of God, the number one priest in the land, says God's going to answer your prayer. What'd she do? Believed it. Now, how do you know she believed it? Because she was no longer sad. You know what will happen to you if you believe a promise of this book? You'll be no longer sad. You'll have some peace of mind. You may still have some physical pain that you can't get rid of. You may still have some sickness that you never do get healed from. You may still have the problems of life, but you'll be no longer sad. Brother David Holmes was a dear friend of mine. He was a college friend, and we met, and he just passed away recently, as some of you know. Darla sent me an email. She said, we're sad, but he's glad. Isn't that wonderful? It is wonderful. I don't fear death. Why don't I fear death? A promise written in my Bible said God so loved the world that he gave. You didn't buy it. You can't pay it back. You can never repay. Everlasting life.
Thank you, Lord. Man,
because it's a gift, I can't lose it. You can't lose it either. Don't worry about losing it if you've got it. Because God gave a gift and he's not an Indian giver. Excuse me, Indians.
Amen.
He gave it and it's given. And it says we have now, what does this book say? Now, eternal life. It's already started. I'm not going to wait until they throw dirt in my face and then hope for eternal life. I've got eternal life today. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, I wrote my name in there. September 1st, 1957, I wrote my name in there. Whosoever, I said, if Lyndall Kincaid shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. I tell you what, I went away happy. Amen. I was no longer sad. You can do the same thing today, just like Hannah did. Simple faith, it's a beautiful thing. And I don't believe you give it much credit. You got burdens in your heart, and you come and you talk and you lay over these things like it. Just believe. Just believe. Take a promise and believe. Somebody says, don't quote the Bible. Don't give me the proof text. That's exactly what I do. And by the way, I've been preaching an awful long time. And you know what I tell you? Correct me by this book. The one I got in my hand, or the one you got in your hand, King James. You say, well, I don't want that old book. That old book's been through a lot of fires. That old book has brought great revival. That old book is a consistent book. That old book will teach you something. You need to be taught some things. And you need them for your own faith and your own happiness. Some of you live miserable lives and you don't have to. All you have to do is do what Hannah did and believe what the priest said. That was her authority. They didn't have this book like I have. Man, am I thankful for this thing? I am thankful that you can go into any grocery store nearly and buy one. They've got them down cheap. They'll give them away to you. In fact, we've done a lot of giving away of the Bible. But you know something? It's a beautiful thing to believe. Just believe. And once you believe, just rest in that belief. You can rest by faith. Simple faith brings great benefits. It brings peace of mind. It lets you sleep at night. It lets you not fear death. Now, I'll admit, if you got you're a young dad and you got kids and a wife, and you don't want to die right now, but even somebody gets as old as me, do you realize how many millions of dollars old people are paying to try to stay here?
Amen.
I don't think that way. Now, I may have to do some of that, and I've done plenty of it. I got a pacemaker and a defibrillator, and I've got all sorts of different things like that. I take about 5 or 6 shots a day and about 18 pills a day. Yeah, I'm spending a little money to stay here. But I don't want to stay here. I want to lay down on my pillow and say, good night. Hello, Lord.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
That'll make your hair roll up in curls. Hannah did something. She came to the priest and she heard the word of God from the priest. He said, she's going to do it. And did he do it? Yes. That's where Samuel came from. That's the whole thing. This is his mother and his father. He's dedicated to the Lord from beginning. And I'll bet you, now you know, some of you women, you probably nursed your children for 9 months, 6 months. 18 months. I heard of a lady that was still nursing him at 14. I don't think so. But about 7. You know something? What a beautiful thing it is to just take the Word of God and rest in it. Rest. There is a rest for the people of God, and it's in the Word. Things are going to happen you don't like. Things are going to happen that you cannot control. Things are going to happen in your life that you hope nobody else would have. And that's all right. Why don't you look around and say, I am the Lord's. He bought me with a price. He loves me more than I love myself. He loves me more than I love anyone else.
Thank you, Lord. He
paid my debt.
Thank you, Lord.
He paid my debt. He paid my debt. That enough ought to let you walk out with a free spirit. I remember at 20 years old when I got the knowledge that I had been saved. I called upon the Lord, and the Lord moved upon me and gave me confidence. I believed it. It was like a huge burden fell off my back. He's going to pay for my sins. I don't have to. You can't ever pay for them. You can't even pay for your little white sins, much less the bad ones.
Amen.
Bless your hearts. Simple faith has great, great benefits. Now there in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, there's a story about a leper. He came down from the mountain. Great multitudes followed him. And behold, there was a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt. What? If you will, thou canst make me clean. What did that leper say? What was the faith of that leper? You got the power. All you have to do is have the will. If you will, you can make me clean. How simple is that? He said, I will. Verse 3. You will. You can make me clean if you will. He said, I will. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Great, great benefits, I want you to know. Now, faith takes God at His word and rests there. Very simple. The whole thing is not near as complicated as most people make it. It's real simple. You believe God, you trust God, and you can go to bed and sleep at night. You can trust God, and you can go through a war, you can go through a depression, you can go through a dust storm, you can go through diseases, because you believe and you trust God. Whatever happens to you is in the will of God. And if you can trust that way, and if you can trust Him, can you get this in your head? God loves you more than your mother or father ever did. God loves you more than your husband or wife have ever loved you. God does. God gave His own Son. God planned this salvation from before the world began. It's so beautiful. It is so clear. Simple faith. Simple faith. We understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Why? Because the Bible says so. Now you may think that's dumb. I've known a lot of people that do. And some very smart people are evolutionists. Well, bless your heart. I wasn't fooled with that when I was going to school. I didn't believe that. I believed in a God. Can you imagine all of the animals? Can you imagine all of the different kinds of eyes? Have you ever had a glimpse of all the different kind of eyes? Not just human eyes, animal eyes. All course, it's a fantastic thing. That's an accident. You wouldn't believe that. If it came on your computer, it wouldn't be an accident. I know now that I'm driving 25 computers. And I don't know how to turn them on and off. And they drive me absolutely nuts. But I am going to learn if I don't wreck it and kill myself sometime. They got too many computers there. We understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Why? Because the Bible says so. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning was there a little bitty ball like a marble or a golf ball that exploded and became all of this. Have you thought about how great electricity is?
Amen.
It's, to me, it's one of the most fascinating things ever. It's all that we do and we have. And it was there all along, but nobody knew how to handle it until Edison and Tesla. Benjamin Franklin. I can't imagine flying a kite with a wire in my hand and putting it in lightning. That doesn't even make sense to me. You know what? What else does God have that you don't know anything about?
Right.
Oh, you think you're so smart? Well, somebody's going to come up with something tomorrow that show you didn't know anything. How about trust? Do you have anybody you can trust? Some of you had, you didn't have a good father you could trust, or you couldn't trust your mother, or you couldn't trust your friends, and you couldn't trust other people, and you've had some really hard times and bad situations. Can you trust God? Can you trust God? You know what Hannah did? She all of a sudden took the word of the man of God, and it gave her peace. And she won the victory. And she bore one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth, was her son. Wow. Faith without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What don't Noah do? God says it's going to rain, and Noah says, what's rain? He said, build this ark. Evidently, it took him 120 years to build that ark. And if you go over there and look at some of the replicas that are in the United States, they're fascinating. I've never went to them to see them, but I've seen them on the internet. I'm telling you, I believe Noah knew what he was doing. And he'd never built a boat in his life. But Noah, by faith, spent 120 years preaching and building a boat. You can't even come to church twice a day. You can't even come to church twice a week. Some of you haven't been in months. Adios. How about old Abraham? You're successful, you're helpful, you're around with your family. Family is very important to me. I'm thinking about Abraham, it was pretty important to him too. And God said, get up and leave. I'll show you when you get there. Abraham did what? Complained and cried and fussed and couldn't sleep for a week? No, he obeyed. He just believed. Simple faith, he just believed. You don't know what blessing could come to you if you just believe God did his word. You got problems? Start reading the Bible. See if you can find something set there. See if you can find your problem in the word of God. And then ask God for some blessing. Now, he may not answer all your prayers. He never answered all of mine, and I'm thankful he didn't answer all of mine. Some of the things I prayed, I'm sure glad I didn't get. But Abraham, by faith. By faith, what? How does that fit into your lifestyle today? By faith? What do you do by faith? What do you believe by faith? What are you telling other people by faith? Well, you know what I'm doing? I'm telling them Jesus can save their soul. I'm telling them that God can forgive them. You know what I'm basing that on? What it says. I can read. I came up before television. My dad didn't get one till I was 16. By that time, I was already a reader. And bless your hearts, it's a good book. I wouldn't start. If you're going to go read, don't start at Genesis. Start at the Gospel of John and the book of Romans and read them both five times before then go to Matthew and read the New Testament a time or two. Then go back to Genesis and get all those great stories. And then you won't be confused about that little ark and that big ark. What do you believe by faith? There was a centurion in Matthew chapter 8. He had a servant that was sick. And this verse 7, chapter 8, Matthew 8, 7, Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I will come, I'll go with you. And as you're answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Are you that humble? Are you that humble? I don't think many of us are. I think we're a pretty proud people. But here's this centurion. That's a big officer, controlled 100 soldiers. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. He knew something about who he was talking to. I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only. Wow. Shock Jesus. How about something that would surprise Jesus? Would you like to surprise Jesus? Do what this fellow did. He said, speak the word only. Can you take the word only? Can you take the word only? It's one of the greatest blessings of my life to take the word only. I've got promises that a lot of people don't have. There are people that are burdened out there. They can't sleep at night because they can't believe God. Speak the word only. That's all I need. I don't care what you think it means. I just want to know what does it say. That's a simple thing. Simple faith. John 3:14 is another interesting thing. It's just simple faith. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You're going to take and build an image, a brazen image of a poisonous snake. Stick it on a pole and stick it out where a million people or so or camping, and anybody that gets bit, just go and look at it. You didn't have to go pray. You didn't have to bring an offering. You didn't have to do all sorts of things. You didn't have to crawl on your hands and your knees. You know what he said? Look. Let him come and look. And anybody that came and looked was healed. But there were a lot of people died of snake bite. You know why? They wouldn't simply take a simple statement of faith and believe it and go with it. They looked and lived. Just looked and lived. Isn't that simple? That's beautiful. That's a great story. You ought to get that down in your head. That ought to be in your head when you don't think God can hear your prayers, when you don't think God can answer your situation, when you don't think you have any hope left. You ought to just look and believe. Believe and look. Take God at His word. Lord, I'm here because You told me to pray. You said You wanted to hear my prayers. And that's what He says. One of the biggest doctrines in the Word of God is faith, and another one is prayer. I'm talking about big in number of verses that's given to it throughout the entire Bible. You ought to pray more. You ought to believe that God will hear you if you pray more. You ought to listen and take the promises of God and go home and sleep at night. Simple faith. Simple faith. Just what I thought of. Second Chronicles 7:13 says, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. We've got a pestilence among the people of the world. I think we need to pray. I think our nation needs to humble itself and pray. I think the world needs to humble itself and pray. It comes from God. You can blame the Chinese all you want to, but I believe this thing came from God. It's beyond somebody's little biological bomb. If I shut up heaven, next verse says, if my people. It's not up to the lost to pray. It's not up to the different nationalities around the world, if my people. It's on us to take God at His word and pray. Ask God. Now, God may not answer your prayer. Do you understand that? Sometimes He says no. Have you lived long enough to see that some of your prayers you didn't need answered? You would have been in worse shape if He'd have answered your prayers. I'm glad God said no to some of mine. But simple faith can give you peace. Simple faith can give you happiness. Simple faith can make you confident. Simple faith can let you walk through this life with a whole lot better swing to your step. I thank God. Well, as a general in an invitation, I use Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He's near. Let me tell you, He can be found today, and He's near today. He said He goes where His word goes. He said His word will not return unto Him void. That's the reason why I like to quote it. Let the wicked forsake his way. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to change your mind about some things. Let the unrighteous his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. Now look what He says here. He will have mercy upon him. You repent and call upon God, He will have mercy. That's a beautiful thing. He will abundantly pardon. I have been abundantly pardoned. I'm still a stupid human being. You are too, but you just don't admit it. But we are. We're so foolish, we're so fleshly, we're so carnal. I wish we were spiritual. I wish we could be spiritual. Then we might really do a work for God. But the only way you're going to get a work for God is take His word and just simply believe it like Hannah did. May God bless you. If you need to talk to me about anything, just come on up. May God richly bless you. Come back tonight.